be here in Twinning again this morning. It's always good to come to Twinning. And it's good to hear all the news of what's happening here in Twinning, all the things that are going on. You know, I preach in quite a few churches now, and it's sad to say that there are one or two churches that I go to that are, as it were, just hanging on by a thread. And I find it greatly encouraging after being saved in this church so many years ago and led this church for a number of years as well, to come back here and see so many of you. I was saying to somebody earlier on that there are still a lot of faces here that were here when I was here. And I want you to know today that you don't look any older. Okay? But it's good. It's always a joy to come back to Twinning. And it's good to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to for us to read some scripture from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, which the Lord has laid on my heart this week, which I want to share with you today. And it's Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, reading from verse 46, a familiar little piece of a story that you'll know very well. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus along the road. Simple little story, but a lovely little story, isn't it? A story of a great miracle of healing. And friends, we need miracles of healing, and we've heard about miracles of healing. I was talking to Dave just before the meeting started this morning, and we were praising the Lord together because of what the Lord is doing in his life as well. And to see Joan here as well after the news. And it's always good. I'm glad that you send me the news from Twinning. I'm glad I'm on your loop or whatever it is you have. I get all the emails. Thanks for all the emails. Thanks, Tom. Thanks to Rebecca as well for all the emails that come through, because it enables me in the backwoods and swamps of the Forest of Dean to pray for you as well. But let's just look to this story this morning and see what the Lord has for each one of us. And I'm sure that there's something here for you this morning, as there is for me, because there's something about this story that really does touch my heart. Because it's a story of great faith. A story of great faith. And I always love stories of great faith, because stories of great faith encourage me. They encourage me. And tell you, friends, I don't know about you, but in this Christian life, which I find so hard at times, I need encouraging. And I'm sure that you do as well. And it's a story about a blind man sitting at the side of the road, where he sat for maybe all his life. We're not told. We don't know. But the story of a blind man who cries out to Jesus, and he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when this blind man cries out, we find that the crowd that are around him try to stop him. And isn't that a bit like today? That today the world will try and shut up the voice of the Christian, the voice of those that cry out in faith. You see, this crowd didn't care whether this blind man found help or not. And today the world doesn't care, does it? The world doesn't care for those that need that special touch from our God. But we're told that Bartimaeus cried out all the more. And that's the encouraging bit for me. He cried out all the more. He needed help. And he found the only one who could help him. And friends, his name is Jesus. Praise his name. And I want to focus really today on one verse of this story, and that's verse 50. And in my Bible, which is the NIV, it says, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. The story of this blind man whose life is reduced to sitting at the roadside begging. Day after day after day. That's all he could do. It's a story of a man who is rejected by society, as I've already said, and ignored by the people. But you might have thought that the people that were around him, who were perhaps maybe considered religious, would have wanted to help him. But we're told that they tried to shut him up. They tried to shout him out. They shouted him down. See, this blind man, maybe the fact that he couldn't see meant that he could hear all the more. And I imagine that this blind man had heard little snippets about Jesus in the years, months before this event actually happened. I would imagine that he'd heard about Jesus. That he'd heard that he was a great miracle worker. That he'd heard that he was being proclaimed as the Messiah, the one who would come. And over the period of the months, weeks, however, how long before, he'd formed an impression of Jesus. And this had helped to prepare him for the day when he would meet Jesus face to face. Could Jesus possibly work a miracle in his life? And the more he hears about Jesus, the more his faith grows. And he sits at the roadside in this little city of Jericho, which is on the main route through to Jerusalem. It's a route that the pilgrims take on their way to the holy city to celebrate Passover. And I would imagine that this man sat there and thought, well, there is the likelihood that one day this man Jesus will pass through Jericho. There is the likelihood that one day this man Jesus will pass by. And that will be my opportunity. And of course, we're told that this day comes when Jesus does pass through Jericho and he's on his way to Jerusalem. This is his final journey. Jesus' final journey. He's on his way to the cross. And he comes through this city of Jericho. It's a day when suddenly the crowds are noisier than usual. There are more people out on the street. The word has got around that Jesus is arriving. And this man senses this. He senses that there is something happening around him. And he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And out of that great crowd, he hears a man's voice. A man's voice saying, bring that man to me. Bring that man to me. And we're told that Bartimaeus jumps to his feet and threw off his cloak and came to Jesus. And that's where the focus is for me. The first thing I asked myself when I read that was, why did he throw away his cloak? Why did he throw away his cloak? You see, Bartimaeus' cloak was probably the one thing that people would recognize him by. People who came down the road would say, oh, that's Bartimaeus, the one in the brown cloak, that dirty old brown cloak. That's Bartimaeus. He always sits there. He's always there begging. You can come down this road any time. He's always there, the one in that brown cloak. That's Bartimaeus. People would recognize Bartimaeus by his cloak. You see, this cloak represented for him his beggar's lifestyle. It was a symbol of who he was. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. It represented, if you like, his old lifestyle. But he has faith in Jesus' ability to change all this. And when Jesus calls him, he knows that he's going to be healed. There's no shadow of doubt in his mind. He knows he's going to be healed. He's going to have a new life. And he won't have to beg for a living anymore. So strong is his faith in what Jesus can do for him that he throws aside his beggar's cloak. I just think this is incredible. I really do. Such faith. Such faith. You see, when we meet with Jesus, we can be sure that our lives will never be the same again. I got saved in this church all those years ago, and I remember talking to a friend afterwards who wasn't a Christian, and she just laughed at me. And she said, "Chris, leopards don't change their spots. I've known you for too long." And I said, "Well, you want to take note, this leopard has." And since then, though my walk with Jesus hasn't been an easy one at times, that's my fault, not his, by the way, he has remained faithful to me right through my life. You see, our lives will never be the same again when we meet with the living God. We will not be beggars any longer. We will become new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. You know, there are better things ahead. We never have to go back to a beggarly lifestyle again, do we? You know, Bartimaeus was so prepared in his heart to receive Jesus that it didn't occur to him to hang on to his beggar's cloak. He cast it aside. Once he sprang to his feet, he didn't see himself as a beggar anymore. He hadn't been healed yet. But such is his faith in Jesus that he already has a vision of a new life in Christ Jesus the moment that Jesus touches him. And that's how it is, friends. That's how it is that we are changed the moment Jesus comes into our life and he touches us. It never occurred to him to go to Jesus and then to return to his place at that roadside with all the other beggars. He cast his cloak aside. You know, when I first started to prepare this message, when I felt that the Lord had placed a message from this scripture on my heart, my first inclination was to want to speak on that verse that says, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." But you see, I realized that so often, although I believe that my faith in Jesus has set me free, I realized that so often I'm living like a beggar. In my Christian life, I'm living like a beggar. I realize that sometimes I have lost the joy of my salvation. I can remember just not long after getting saved here in this church, in this chapel, we had a kind of an inter-church meeting. I think it was a churches together thing. And we had all these churches came from Tewkesbury and the place was packed. And at that time, Harry was leading the church and he said to me, "Would you be prepared to stand up and give your testimony?" And I can remember standing on the platform at the front of the church here, telling of what Jesus had done for me and being totally overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for me. And I can remember the tears running down my face as I was so overwhelmed with that fact. But friends, all these years on, I ask myself, how often do I cry? How often do I weep over what Jesus has done for me? How hard has my heart become? And I realize that sometimes I've lost the joy of my salvation. And I feel as if I'm just hanging on until the Lord comes or I get called home. Sometimes I feel that the demands of this Christian life are just too hard. And I want to curl up and just go to sleep. And Jesus' words, "Your faith has healed you," didn't seem to have the same meaning that they used to have. And I thought, well, how can I preach a sermon on these words? Because that would be a form of hypocrisy for me. But you know, God is so gracious. He is so gracious. And I believe he said to me, "Chris, you need to lift your eyes, mate. You need to lift your eyes." And I can remember being seated at my computer, at my keyboard, and I spent a lot of time there in prayer as well. And I can remember saying, "Lord, you know, I just don't know what to look at." "Well, lift your eyes." "Yeah, but I don't know what to look at, Lord." "Lift your eyes." "Yeah, I know that the psalm says, 'Lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh your strength.' You know, I know all that, Lord." "Lift your eyes." So I lifted my eyes an inch. And I lifted my eyes an inch up the page. And said, "What am I supposed to look at, Lord?" And then I saw it. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And I realized that when the Lord touched me, as he did all those years ago, he expected me to cast off my beggar's cloak. He expected me to rise to my feet and live a more abundant and joyous life. We were talking about abundant life before the meeting started. We have a man in our church who so often quotes this scripture, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, "By his stripes I am healed." Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You see, God is speaking. And I believe God spoke to me. And he said to me, "Chris, I want you to know, as I want everybody to know, that your name is spoken of in heaven." How awesome is that? To think that our names are spoken of in heaven. I'm not a beggar anymore. And neither are you. But I have to ask the question, why is it that I insist on clinging to my beggar's cloak then? Which is full of fears and full of doubts. When all the while I know that I am accepted. Ephesians 1:6 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." But there are points in my life where I realize that my focus is on my beggar's cloak. You see, this beggar's cloak represents the limitations, if you like, that are placed upon my life. Bartimaeus was a beggar. That's what we're told. Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was identified as a beggar when he wore his beggar's cloak. And as long as he wore it, friends, that's where he would remain. Begging at the roadside. That's where he would be. But once he met Jesus, everything changed. His limitations were gone. Friends, his future is not just orange. His future is golden. His dreams can be fulfilled. He's not tied down anymore. He can rise up on wings of eagles. You know, in my Christian life, I have come to the realization that it is possible to make a decision to follow Jesus, but also to cling to the limitations of a beggar's lifestyle. I've come to the conclusion that a new life does not just happen, that we have to make plans for it. And it certainly won't happen if I go back to sitting at the roadside. I've come to the conclusion that I need to set new goals in my life and break old habits. And I'm coming to the conclusion that I'm not too old to change. And that's a bit of a surprise as well. You see, Bartimaeus could easily have said, I can't change. I'm blind. I'm a beggar. I've always been blind. I've always been a beggar. But we must believe that with Christ helping us, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. I have to stop questioning, can God? Can God? Can God heal? Why have I got so many friends who need a special touch from Jesus at the moment and they don't seem to be getting it? And I start questioning, can God heal? Can God meet needs today that we read about that he met in the scriptures? Can God still save the lost even? And I have to stop questioning this. I have to turn it around now and say, God can. God can heal. God can meet the needs of beggars today. God can still save the lost. I have to cast off the beggar's cloak of limitations. But friends, how I hold on to this cloak. How I hold on. How I pull this cloak tighter around me. Because it gives me comfort. You see, when I look back and I think of the people who hurt me and I recall some of the past abuses in my life, then I pull the cloak a bit tighter around me, don't I? Because it gives me comfort and I cocoon myself within it. And the beggar's cloak becomes a cloak of hurts, a cloak of pain, if you like. And Jesus says constantly, Chris, throw it aside. Throw it aside. You need to get rid of it. Throw it aside. He says, you come to me and you ask me to heal you. And I will. I will. I'll heal those memories for you. You ask me to come and pour oil on those hurts, and I will. But first, you've got to get rid of the cloak that binds them to you. You know, for blind Bartimaeus, that cloak represented security. It was nothing more than a false security, though, was it? He could cling to his cloak just in case things didn't work out with Jesus. And I do that. Maybe some of you do as well, I don't know. I cling to my cloak. And instead of singing, I cling to the old rugged cross, I find myself singing, I cling to the old beggar's cloak. See, for Bartimaeus, his attitude could easily have been, well, if Jesus can't help me, I can always go back to begging. If he didn't have enough faith to believe that Jesus could give him his sight, he could always go back to the side of the road. You see, this cloak represented something to fall back on if things didn't work out. But friends, Bartimaeus threw it away. He threw it away because he had full confidence in Jesus. He knew that once he could see Jesus, then he wouldn't need this cloak anymore. He was headed for a change of life. I sometimes wonder whether I'm at that age where I'm headed for a change of life. And he got rid of what symbolized his blindness, of what symbolized his limitations, of what symbolized his hurts, and what symbolized his false security. Our God is so gracious. He is so gracious. You know, he reminds me of the time when I first came to him. And he says to me, "Chris, nothing held you back then. So why are you holding on to the things that are holding you back now? Why don't you just be like Bartimaeus and throw your cloak aside? You did it once. Do it again. Do it again. Because this beggar's cloak is only a place of false security. Jesus wants us to fling it aside and trust in him as he brings us a genuine security. Do you know, at home, I've got a pair of shoes. They're an old pair of shoes. The stitching's gone round the soles a little bit, and the soles are worn so thin that you can see through them. But I want to tell you, friends, they are the most comfortable pair of shoes that I've ever owned. They are so comfortable. But I can't wear them out. I mean, outside, I mean. Because they let in the wet. And the cold comes up through my socks. I can't wear them. But they are the most comfortable pair of shoes. You know, friends, it's false security, isn't it? We don't have to accept a life of false security just because it is as comfortable as our old shoes. When Bartimaeus was healed, the scripture says that he followed Jesus. It's as simple as that. He followed Jesus. Bartimaeus must have thought to himself, "Well, now I've got my eyesight. Now I can see. All I ever want to do is look upon the face of Jesus. That's all I ever want to do." Jesus said to him, "Your faith has healed you. Go." But we're told at the very end there that he didn't go. He followed Jesus. But what the scripture doesn't tell us, and this is the lesson for me personally, is that he left his cloak behind him. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for what you've placed on my heart at this time to share. Father, I want to thank you for opening my eyes to see what you want to do in my life today. Father, I ask that you will help me to cast aside the cloak that holds me to my old lifestyle, that binds me with the limitations, and that reminds me of the hurts of the past. Lord, I ask that you will help each one of us here today to move into a new relationship with you, where we may feel secure in your love. Lord, I ask that you will heal our hurts and change our lives, because I ask it in the precious name of my Lord and my Saviour, the one who is the King of Kings, the one who is Lord of my life, whose name is Jesus. In his name I ask it. Amen.